you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can open your Bibles over to Mark chapter 11 again. We're going to look at those verses in just a second. One thing that really struck me during the week this week, you know, and we've been on this subject of letting faith take the wheel for many weeks, and that's just the way I do series. That's just the way it is. You know that. I was just struck again today by, number one, the fact that our assignment, what did Boyd just call it? We're in the meanwhile, right? Our assignment as the Church of Jesus Christ, every one of us, is to bring the gospel to the world. And that's not just words. It's not just communicating ideas. It is reflected in changes in us. It's reflected in deeds. It's reflected with power. It's reflected with people being healed, people being set free from demonic oppression, people being delivered, the dead being raised, you name it. I believe that. Do you believe that? We're all in agreement on that. Secondly, I believe that Jesus meant what he said when he said that we would do the same works that he would do, and even greater works than these would we do because he went to the Father. And if we just ask the question, well, what happened when he went to the Father? Number one, redemption was completed. He poured out his blood on that mercy seat in heaven. We were forgiven. We were brought into relationship with him. But the next thing that happened is the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, empowering the church to carry the gospel into the world. He told those disciples, do not go. Don't go. Don't leave Jerusalem. He's already given them a worldwide assignment, but he said, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to carry out the assignment that we have. Because if we look at it as individuals, you and I, everyone, we all have an assignment to this world. You have an assignment to your world. I have an assignment that involves the church, but I also have an assignment to people around me, people in my sphere of influence. You have an assignment to people in your sphere of influence, and it can't be done without the Holy Spirit. And I am more convinced than ever that we will not win people in this day and age, in this culture, just through words, communicating the gospel with words. I'm not saying that's not important. It is. And you've always got to remember that the word of God, truth, carries an anointing. I mean, we can communicate truth to people, and even if they're wanting to disagree with it, there's an anointing. That just means the presence of God is on those words. There's something more than just, what I'm saying is we can't just have an intellectual gospel. And as much as I love, I think apologetics is the study of the scripture, having a logical explanation for our belief. And that's so important, and I love that. But many times apologists, people who are really into apologetics, leave out the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to say to you this morning is I don't think our society will respond, not much of it, I'm not saying never, but for the most part, will respond just to an intellectual presentation of the gospel. But when they experience the presence of God in you, even in the anointing on the words that you speak, it'll hit their heart in a way they didn't expect. When they experience healing because you laid hands on them and God healed their bodies, that breaks through. That's so hard to deny. When they get free from an addiction, when they get free from fear or agitation or any discouragement or depression or whatever it is, because you prayed for them in the name of Jesus, that's a lot harder to deny. We're real good in this society at just not believing just coming up with a counter argument. You know what I mean? When all it is intellectual argument. And, speaking of Charlie Kirk, that became, it's been there for a long, long time. We're all aware of it. But it's just been so clear in the aftermath of his assassination. You have people out there taking the time to pull out little tiny clips of things that he said and putting them together to make it look like, well, see, he's a racist. See, he's a homophobe. See, he's this. See what he said here. But they're taken totally out of context. And if you've listened at all to him, or there are other people who've taken the time, who has this kind of time, to name those things that are being said about him that aren't true, and then post the full context, post the video with the full context, and it's obvious that's not what he was saying. That's not at all what he was saying. And yet, there are people who will either refuse to look at that because they do not want to know the truth. They want to believe what they believe. Or they'll look at that and just say, I don't care. I'm going to believe what I believe. I don't want the facts. And that's part of where our society is. What breaks through that is the power of God in the name of Jesus. And so what's this got to do with faith? Everything. I think today more than ever, we've got to be a people of faith. We've got to be a people who understand what Jesus is saying here. And that's why we've taken 2 weeks just to begin to lead up to what he's saying here. And that's why we're picking these verses apart. Last week, I got very technical with the Greek, and we labored through a number of terms so that we could really understand what was being said here in Mark 11, 22, and in Romans 10, 17, we labored through that so that we could really understand. And the reason we tear things apart like that is so that we can really understand it and we can put it back together in our hearts. And we can know that we're living according to what the word actually said, not what it sometimes seems like it says in English, or maybe just have a deeper understanding. We have a 55-year-old garage door opener. They made good garage door openers back then. Zach doesn't like my garage door opener. It doesn't have any safety features. None. You can walk under it. It will crush you. I have until the motor gets hot and kicks itself out. I've had a closer in my pocket, parked that 1958 R60 I used to have, was getting it out of the garage, had it under there, turned around, did something, and started closing the garage door. It's like, ah! But anyway, a few weeks ago or a couple months ago or something, sometime during the summer, we realized that, they have little lights that come on. Those weren't coming on anymore in our garage when you'd open the door. There's no lights. And now it matters since we have less sunshine. So anyway, a couple weeks ago, In those 55 years, I've replaced one belt in that thing. And then I went in there to figure out, I thought there'd be a blown fuse or something, but it wasn't that, and I won't bore you with all this, but it was, I never understood how they work. I'm sure my brother Bob knows exactly how they work, but there's a little thermal delay switch, and it's the coolest, simplest little thing. It's a piece of copper with a bunch of wire. See, I'm not boring you with this. Wrapped around it. And when that thing comes on, it sends just a little bit of electricity that heats that copper up. And it closes and it turns on the lights. And then after a while, that cools off and it opens back up and turns the lights off. It's just so simple. And these days, it's all electronic and you throw them away every 2 years. But anyway, so I had to tear that thing apart. And I could see, well, that's what's doing this, and I could close it and the lights would come on. But then I went to the Bible of society, YouTube, and I found where somebody showed what was probably wrong, and there was this little finer than a hair wire that had become disconnected, and I had to solder that, and now it works again. So we're headed for our 56th year with this thing. Anyway, what in the world are you talking about? We tear apart the scripture so that we can understand what's in there and we can put it back together and put it to use in our life. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so we need to be people who live by faith. Let's go over here. We'll see how far we get today. I'll just remind you of this. Let's read down through here, beginning in verse 22, Mark chapter 11. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you." So, just two things. Last week, we saw that when he says, have faith in God, what he's really saying there is to continually, you can go back and get all the Greek from last week. It means to continually hold the same faith that God has, or the same quality of faith that God has in himself, to continually hold that in your heart at all times. So then we went over to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which tells us where faith comes from. It comes from hearing God speak. And we tore this all apart. And we saw, and I just put this up there, as this is kind of what we boiled it down to, that it says the personal spoken word of God. So that's what the Holy Spirit is breathing into your heart as you read the Bible, or you hear teaching, or you're in prayer. It's what God is breathing into your heart. That's the rhema word of God, the personal spoken word of God. That's what this verse is talking about. That word contains God's own faith, because God speaks his word in perfect trust that he is able and willing to do his word. So that word, the word of God, all words really, but God's word is like seed. It carries a piece of his life into your heart. One of the things that the rhema, spoken, personal word of God carries into our hearts is God's faith. So Jesus wouldn't tell us be constantly having the same kind of faith that God has in himself if it was impossible. He doesn't say something like that and then stand back and see if they can do it. You know, it's not like that. It's something he provides for us. So this Romans 10:17, the personal spoken word of God, contains God's own faith, which is released into our hearts when we take a life posture. We take this posture of continually listening to and treasuring what God is saying to us. So a posture is something you develop. A posture is something that we learn how to carry on during the day. So we're not just visiting God here and there. We're just learning how to more and more, even while we're busy, we're doing our things, we've got an ear tuned to what the Spirit of God would be saying to us. That's where we need to live if we want to have faith in God the way Jesus said, have faith in God. Does this make sense to you? Okay, you got that part? Okay, so let's go on. So again, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, remember we said that that word mountain represents an immovable obstacle, something that seems impossible in your life. Anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and here's what we want to talk about today. It says, and does not doubt, but believes. Okay, I want to talk to you about overcoming doubt in your life today. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So what he's telling us here is how to handle immovable obstacles in our life. Immovable obstacles, something that seems impenetrable, something that seems impossible. And I believe it's particularly something that stands up before you to interfere with you walking out God's purpose for your life, or something that contradicts the promises of God. That's an immovable object, an immovable obstacle to us, okay? Not to God, but to us. It feels impossible. And so he's telling us, here's what you do. You start talking to it. Remember, we studied this a couple weeks ago. His example His example was talking to a tree. Jesus talked to a tree, and he talked to the tree out loud because it says his disciples heard him. You know, sometimes we read those things and we just wonder, well, what, you know, does it matter that his disciples heard him? Yeah, because it's telling us he said something out loud to that tree. We also know, and this isn't our topic today, he also spoke to the wind. He spoke to waves. Jesus spoke to those things that were threatening. With the tree, he was just giving an example of the power of faith, the fig tree. All right? So he says here, if anyone says to this mountain, okay, throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Doesn't doubt, but believes. Okay? We've studied in the past in this study and others, the word believe is a word that speaks of acting upon what we're convinced of. So it's not just a passive, I believe it. I intellectually agree with it. That's not what this word means. This word means that we have such a strong conviction about what God has said, the faith of God is working so strongly in our hearts that we act like it's true. Okay, we start to live according to what we believe. That's what believe means. But he tells us, don't doubt but believe. So those two things are fighting with each other on the inside of us, doubt and belief. All right, so this word doubt here, it means to strive with something or to be in contention with something. So you're having an argument with something. That's what the word doubt literally means. This is interesting. It means, from the Greek, it means to be in strife with yourself. Okay, to be in strife with yourself. So this is an internal debate that's going on the inside of us between God's word and something else, our own thoughts. We'll look at some different things. Okay, to be in strife with yourself, that word also means to be double-minded, to be of two minds. And we see that a number of places in the scripture. If we have time, we'll look at a couple of them today. This word doubt means to hesitate or to waver. Okay, a lot of times we hear what God says, we know God said it, but we hesitate, okay? And we start either entering in maybe into self-justification. Well, God, I know you said that, but here's why I'm doing something different. Or we start to contrast that with the way we've always done it. We contrast what God is saying with something. Maybe we don't want to let go of something, but in one way or another, we hesitate. We waver back and forth, okay? God will say something to us and we say, yeah, but my experience says, or as a pastor that we know says, or Dr. Doodad on TV says, okay, but the Bible says, yeah, but Dr. such and such that has 15 PhDs in theology, he said this over here. And that starts going, that's doubt going on. There's this contest between the word of God and something else. This influencer, or my professor, or my best friend, or my mom, or my aunt, or my whoever says this, but the word of God says this. And so we hesitate, and we waver back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You don't go anywhere when you're doing that. You stand still. The devil has you standing still right then. It's an internal debate between something God has breathed into your heart and your own thoughts, you know. Well, I just think, well, if what you think doesn't line up with God's word, then you need to change what you think. Same for me. Same for all of us. If what I think doesn't line up with the word, guess who's right? Is God right or am I right? Okay. So I need to change the way I think. I just feel like it should be this way. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter. If it's contradictory to God's word, it doesn't matter what you feel. if you want to live a life of faith in God or having the faith of God working in your heart. Can you say amen, whether you like it or not? Sometimes we just have built up habitual ways of doing things. This is the way I've always done it. Well, if that doesn't line up with what God's saying to you, need to change. Need to change, okay? Emotions. A lot of times our emotions, they just want to go a different direction, or we want to hold on. So often we have a desire, we have an appetite, we have an addiction, essentially, whether it's what we usually call an addiction or it's just, I don't want to let go of this in my life. I don't want to let go of this. But God in our growth leads us into a new place. And he speaks that to us. He breathes that to us in the Word of God. And we've got to decide, you know, don't doubt in your heart, but believe. You can't do both at the same time. You can have both. You can have doubts in your mind. Doubts in your mind are different than doubts in your heart. If you entertain doubts in your mind, they will become established in your heart. What we want to know is how to starve doubts, because we're going to see in a minute, they're going to be presented to you. Doubts are going to come. They start up here. We've got to do the right thing. We've got to make the right choices so that we starve doubts and feed faith. Okay? So, but you can, and it's important to understand that, we just don't want to allow doubts to become established in the heart. Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart, but believe. The words in your heart are important there. You can be believing or you can be moving in faith or toward faith, and doubts will be presented to you. They'll come to your mind. It's what you do in that moment that determines who's going to win this internal debate. Does this make sense to you? Okay, we're in charge of that. Okay, and again, Jesus doesn't tell us not to do something if he's not there by grace to empower us to do that. Faith is fed and grows and develops by listening to, continually hearing what God is saying to us. That's what Romans 10:17 tells us. Doubts work the same way. Not by what God is saying to us, but if we continue to feed on the lies of the devil, or we continue to feed on our own thoughts, or we continue to let our emotions rule over what God is saying, or any of those things, okay, then doubts can grow stronger and stronger and become a stronghold, an established stronghold in your heart. And that's what we want to avoid, okay? Doubt is fed by feeding on thoughts or activities that diminish God, that demean God, that contradict his word. If we keep thinking about that, we all hear those arguments, philosophies, all day, every day, these days. All day, every day. You can hear those. They're in the world. They're in entertainment. They're in education. They're on the internet. They're on television, they're in movies, they're in a lot of your friends' mouths, they're in those places, okay? We have this flow in the world of worldly wisdom, which the Bible says, James says, is demonic. It has a demonic root. We also have a flow. If God wants you to listen to him constantly, he must be speaking to us constantly, okay? We listen for him. He may not speak 24/7, but he speaks a lot. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be there with us. He wants to be encouraging us. When we allow distractions and cares and weights into our lives, we take hold of those things, all right? They can keep us too occupied to take the time to cook a good meal of God's word. Faith is fed by hearing what God is saying, okay? And it is. It's very simple. It's just the same thing. If we continually eat junk food, if we continually eat the wrong foods, our bodies won't be healthy. If we continue to listen and take in the wrong things instead of God's word, our spiritual life will not be healthy. We won't be strong, okay? Junk food just doesn't cut it. And to me, when I was thinking about all this, I was thinking, yeah, and to do well, I never ate well before I got married, okay? And because Karen cares. That's part of her name, Karen. And she cares. So she cooks good food. And it takes a tremendous amount of time. I didn't do it. I ate, I cooked, but it wasn't like this, okay? It takes time. It's the same thing with the Word of God. We cannot just snack once in a while. We can't just grab a moment with God, not if we're going to live by faith, not if we're going to have the impact God wants us to have. You can do it, and God will love you until you die. God will love you even when the devil runs your life. God will still love you. That's not the point. The point is, we're supposed to be overcomers. We're supposed to be impacting the world. We're supposed to be carrying the anointing of God in our lives. We can't do that on spiritual snacks, okay? Can you say amen?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go over to James chapter 1, and I would like you to go there. I have some of this on the screen. But James chapter 1, James talks about wisdom. You're right. If anybody lacks wisdom, what is wisdom? It is practical application of God's word. So wisdom in our context and what we're talking about today is the wisdom of God is how we apply the word of God to the mountains in our life. Okay, how do we take these things down? How do I get wisdom? So beginning in verse 5 of James chapter 1, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, again, that's practical application of truth. That's what Bible wisdom is. He should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I love that. No matter how dumb we are or how many times we've asked, he comes back and he will give us wisdom. So nowhere in this is it saying that God will stop giving you wisdom because you blew it, okay? You blew it. You messed up. I told you before, that's not God's attitude, okay? He's incredibly gracious. So he will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, here it is again, he must believe and not doubt, okay? If we're going to ask God for wisdom, we got to believe and not doubt. We've got to get past the internal debate, the internal contention, giving place to doubts in our life. We've got to get past that. So when he asks for wisdom, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. This is the same terminology as doubt. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So maybe we're asking for wisdom about just one area of life. But if we continue to give place to entertain doubts in our minds, they'll get established in our hearts. If we continue to entertain doubts in a habitual way, we will become unstable in all our ways. In all our ways. It's, in other words, it spreads. Lots of things like that in the Bible. It's like that seed Boyd was talking about, sort of that stuff you put in bread. Yeast. It spreads. Okay, it spreads. Doubt will spread. Faith will spread. Okay, it's what we do that makes a difference. So it doesn't say here that if you doubt, you're like a wave of the sea, blown, tossed by the wind, that man should not think God will give him anything. It doesn't say that. It says right up above, God will continue to give you wisdom when you ask. But it does say that person will not receive anything. And that's what entertaining these debates, which is right? Is it what I saw online, or is it God's word? Is it what my sister said, or is it God's word? Is it what the professor said, or is it God's word? That debate blocks our ability to receive what God freely gives. Does that make sense? You're getting that? God gives without finding fault. But if we continue to doubt and not believe, we're not going to receive it. We're just going to block it out. Or it's just going to get tangled in that constant turmoil on the inside of us. And it says that's because we are double-minded. That term literally means to have divided loyalties. Divided loyalties. I don't know if we have time, we don't, to look at this. But I'll recommend to you to read James chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. There, James defines trying to hold on to God's values and the world's values at the same time as double-minded, divided loyalties. God actually says there in his word that we become adulterous. We become adulterous. We're carrying on an illicit love affair with the world, some translations say. Why is that? Because we're trying to hold their values and God's values. The two do not coincide. They don't coincide. And this is a battle every one of us are going to have to fight. Okay, when our minds are renewed, they only hold one set of affections and one set of values. And we reject the world's values. We don't reject, and this is where it gets hard, we don't reject people in the world. We love people, but we reject their values. I don't have to sit and consider all these different things that people are believing. I don't have to consider whether males can be females and females can be males. I don't have to sit and have that debate in my mind. No, I see what the Word of God says, and I see what biology says, okay? Doesn't mean I have to... That I shouldn't love people who are caught in that trap. I absolutely need to love people who are caught in that trap. And whatever trap you want to bring up, I don't care. Whatever trap you want to bring up, I don't have to build a habit of indecisiveness. I need to build a habit of decisiveness when God speaks. I'm going to say yes. If I don't understand fully, and that's true most of the time, then I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Now, I have questions. I'm not questioning what you're saying. I accept what you're saying. But how does this work? How do I live it out? Or how do I express it? Or, you know, how do I apply this to my... That's asking for wisdom. How do I apply this? How do I live in it? Another verse for you, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, defines Christian maturity as not being tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. So that'd be teaching, stuff that's being taught that isn't biblical and it's everywhere. Or just popular opinion. Pushed around by popular opinion. Well, but my friends live this way. Well, you got to decide how you want to live. That's the way it is. This is real. This life is real. There are heaven and hell issues going on for our friends and our neighbors and our families. This is real. And to some degree, I think we just treat it like a big game. And it's not a big game. Okay? So, like I said, you can have faith in your heart and some doubt in your mind, okay? And so we have to make good choices that starve the doubts and feed the faith. So, with that said, and let me say this going into this, we've got to learn how to take our thoughts captive, and that's where we're going for the rest of the time that we have. If you are, when we talk about this, about tearing down doubts, okay, and building up faith. If you are a person given to worry, you are in a perfect position to learn how to tear doubts down, because you already know how to take hold of something in your thoughts and revolve it and get the on the worry end. It's the, well, what ifs? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if, and all kinds of fear grows. If you turn that around and do that with the word of God and what God says, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does? What if what God said in his word, what's that look like, God, for that coming to pass in my life? What's that look like? God, I'm going to think about that. What if, wow, what if God does everything he said he would do? What if God saves my family? What if God delivers my child? What if God heals this body? What if God, so you're just turning the process around and you're breaking the cycle of worry as an example, because it's the same thing, except it's in the negative. You're thinking about it over and over. You're letting it draw pictures in your heart. You're letting it become established. What if it doesn't happen? What if it does? What if it does? And God will help you with that. And as you meditate on his word, we saw it already, the word carries faith and deposits it in your heart. Okay, quickly. You still with me? All right, so we can develop this habit of taking control of our thoughts. This is so important. I can't tell you how many times I have this conversation with people, and they'll be in something, and I'll say, well, you know, so, you know, the, well, I have this, I'm seeing, you know, I'm waking up at night, and I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. And I'll say, so what do you do when those thoughts go? Well, I lay awake, and I think this, but what do you do? Do you take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ? These are one of these great truths we love to talk about, but we've got to do it. I don't always do it either, but I need to do it. Every time I need to do it. This is so core. This is so key. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. You still with me? The weapons of our warfare, they're not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God to the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. A stronghold is a pattern of thinking that allows the devil to rule a part of your life. A stronghold is a place where a ruler lives and rules from, okay? And this is in our thinking. So the weapons that God's given us, they're mighty for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, in as much as, so it's connected to this, we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay, so we refute arguments. That word refute means to demolish completely. It's not that, okay, I'm just going to keep this in a box over here. I'm going to keep this thought pattern, this way other people think. I'm just going to keep it in a box on the shelf, and then I'll take it out and play with it once in a while. No, it says we demolish it. We refute it. We demolish it. So we actually do that. We ban it. We destroy it. That's all in the word refute. So when I have doubts, I have this combat going on in my heart, I've got to take the side that contradicts God's word, and I've got to refute it. That's something you do. You rebuke it. You tell it where to go, okay? You tell it where to go. You cast it down. You take authority over it. And then it says we lead those thoughts into submission to Christ. If you're going to lead something, you're standing in authority. You are leading. You're not letting it lead you. You're not passive. You're leading. So there are thoughts that come into my mind, and they contradict what God has said. Well, I need to take that thought, and I need to lead it into submission to Christ or the Word of God. So I've got to actually take that thought, and I've got to take the Word of God, and I've got to tell that thought, I'll tell it, no, I'm not going to think on this. Here is what God says, and I will speak that to that thought. I will think that to that thought, but it's better if you speak it to that. Well, somebody's going to think I'm weird. They already think you're weird, okay? They already think you're weird. You might as well make them happy. Speak to your thoughts. And we've got to actually do this, okay? And you've got to take the word. It says bring it in submission to something. Can't just say, okay, I'm not going to think that anymore. That's not enough. Especially when that thought, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's your thought. Many of the thoughts that we have are sown into our minds. That's where the devil works. That's how he works. That's why our instructions about spiritual warfare are about dealing with our thoughts. So it comes from wherever, and it comes into our mind. We need to take authority over it, but we need to put it under an actual verse of Scripture, a promise from God, something that God has said to us. Okay, we take that leadership position. That's how we combat doubt in our life. And this will become, if you do it, it'll become easier and easier. And honestly, the devil keeps losing. He'll quit coming at you that way. He'll quit coming. And plus, you'll get so much better at just recognizing you're watching a movie. And, you know, okay, it's entertainment. Fine, it's fine. But then there's some theme in it that's like, that is so contrary to what the Word of God says. You need to, even if you watch the movie, recognize that theme that's in there. Recognize that what somebody's saying, sometimes we don't even know why, but the Holy Spirit goes, ugh, don't like that. Red flag. Take authority over it and bring it under the Word of God. Don't let that stuff go around. So let me just give you this example and we'll be done today. So when you're fishing, I know a lot of you fish. When you're fishing, you present that fly or maybe that lure, or if you're one of those people, some bait, I guess, but we can pray that out of you. You present that fly, number one, where the fish are eating. The devil does the same thing with these thoughts. So number one thing we need to think about, where do we feed? Do you feed all the time on the internet? Do you feed all the time on movies? Do you feed all the time wherever? Intellectualism, wherever it is, worldly stuff. I'm going long. Gee, what a surprise. You know, so you need to think about where you're feeding. If you're feeding where it's just sewage, I would recommend stop feeding there. Find another place to eat, okay? If all the garbage that's coming out of, you know, your friends or whoever it is, find a different place to feed, all right? So we present that fly where there's a flow of food for that fish. But just because you present that fly, you can watch them. Sometimes they'll come right up to it, and they'll look at it, and they'll say, that's not food, and they'll leave. Okay, or they'll come right back, or they'll come right up to it and touch it sometimes, and they'll say, that's a decoy, that's not food. They're gone. Okay, those are the big fish. That's how they got big. Okay, we need to be the same way when this stuff is presented. Just because the devil presents a thought to us, we don't need to suck it down. Stop sucking down and swallowing everything that flows into your life, because we live in a flow of philosophies and information that are totally contrary to the Word of God. So be sure you don't spend all your time there, but also don't just bite. Don't just take things, okay? We don't have to take it. Just because it's presented to your mind, we don't have to begin to think on it and start to doubt and question and debate. Well, is that, I know God's word says this, but you know, that kind of makes sense. See, that feels, you know, when we toss a fly out there, it's supposed to look like something they eat all the time. And we see a lot of stuff put out under the guise of compassion. We see a lot of stuff put out on the guise of love, except love means something totally different in that context than it means in the Bible. We see stuff thrown out there and all those kinds of costumes. And some of us just, oh, it's got the word compassion in it. I must just need to suck that down. No, you don't. No, you don't. Be wise. Be smart. Listen to the Holy Spirit. pray in the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, okay? And what we want to do in this is we want to build our faith. We want to feed on the Word of God. We want to starve our doubts to the point, and I'm done, that what we know and are convinced of begins to come out of our mouths to that mountain. Begins to come out of our mouths. Whether that mountain is in our life or it's something in somebody else's life we're ministering to, next thing is, what your heart is full of, Jesus said, will come out your mouth. You won't have to figure out how to do it. It'll come out. It's already happening, actually. What's in abundance in your heart is already coming out of your mouth. Okay, so we'll just end right there. Did you get anything you could put to work? All right, let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience, God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Father, today, Lord, I just pray for all of us, that we can become those who live by faith, we believe, and we don't entertain doubts. And I'm asking today, and for anybody who would agree, for the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives, day by day by day, hour by hour, to identify the things that we are taking in that we don't need to be taking in, and to identify, Lord, those things that have become or are trying to be doubts in our lives, and that we would become really good at chewing on, taking in, chewing on, holding to your truth and dismissing things that are not true, so that, Father, we can walk in truth and we can walk in love. And we can minister in life and in power to our world so that we can take authority over what the devil has tried to build in us and around us in the name of Jesus and see those things defeated. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed. And you can come up and get prayer if you need prayer. Do you have something? Okay. Yeah. I said all that. All right, let's do it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord. This is a good thing to say. We need to actually say it. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.